That was a great, great blessing and encouragement, and I trust that was to you as well. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 14, and I'm not going to be long, but I do want to just challenge us here tonight from Numbers chapter 14, as we look at here tonight just a message entitled Attitudes in the Wilderness. If you would please stand and just follow along as I read from our text, beginning in verse number 1, Numbers chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, I ask tonight, in these moments that remain, that you would help us, Lord, to check our attitudes. As Lord, each and every one of us, we have a wilderness journey to complete. Help us, Lord, to have the right attitudes. And I pray you bless this message tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to begin with a story. Carol decided she wanted to do something nice for her neighbor, Mrs. Smith. So she baked a pie and she carried it next door. When Mrs. Smith opened up the door, she was surprised to see her holding a pie. She replied, For me? Oh, thank you so much. You just don't know how much I appreciate it. You are so thoughtful for doing this. Thank you. Because Mrs. Smith liked the pie so much, Carol decided the next week to take her another one. When she took it over, Mrs. Smith opened the door and said, Thank you so much. You are so kind. Carol took another pie over the following week. Mrs. Smith this time simply replied, Thanks. Carol took another pie over the next week, and Mrs. Smith responded, You're a day late with this pie. The following week, Carol baked her another pie. This time, her neighbor said, Try using a little more sugar and don't bake it quite so long. The crust has been a little bit hard lately, and I'd like cherry instead of apple next time. The next week, Carol was so busy, she was unable to bake for her neighbor. When Carol passed by her house on the way to the store, Mrs. Smith looked through the window and noticed she wasn't carrying a pie. She then stuck her head out the window and yelled with contempt, Hey, where's my pie? Now, we notice even in that story how easy it is to go from being thankful to unthankful. You know, I wonder if we don't do the very same thing. If we don't, with God, get so used to the blessings that we begin to yawn, to just simply ho-hum another day, another blessing. If we don't simply take for granted the blessings that God has abundantly bestowed upon us, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers who are struggling with their maturity. They are carnal. They are acting like babes. The Bible says Paul calls them babes in Christ. They have all sorts of immature attitudes and actions. For instance, there's division and fighting. Little kids sometimes do that. They're wanting to play with the wrappers and ribbon of certain spiritual gifts, the temporal ones rather than the ones that are more effective. They allow fornication into their church that goes unchecked, and Paul has to deal with that very delicate subject, very important subject. In addition, they need to grow. They need to add to their foundation. But we find even in 1 Corinthians 3, he reminds them to now add to that foundation, which is Christ Jesus. We find here in verses 1 through 4 that Paul reminds the Corinthian church that the nation of Israel had a very similar problem to theirs. We notice he begins in verse number 1, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You see, they had several things that were the best. First of all, they had the best church. You realize that it's even Stephen, that deacon in Acts chapter 7, verse number 38, who calls the nation of Israel the church in the wilderness. They had the very best pastor, humanly speaking, that any church can have. They had Moses, the lawgiver, the one who, as far as I can tell, only had that one flaw, that time that he got angry with them. They had the best opportunity. They were allowed to enter the promised land. They had the great promises. They had God's presence. It was visible to them by the cloud by day, the fire by night. They had all of these things and more. And yet, besides this, in spite of this, we find that they grumbled, that they complained. We notice even that the Bible says that they had even the symbolic presence of Christ. In fact, that last verse there says the rock that followed them was Christ. The Jews, actually, the Jewish teachers happened to have a traditional belief that the rock that was with them was a visible rock, that literally their water came out of that rock for all 40 years. Then whenever they had that rock, a picture of the smitten Christ, it produced a living water. And yet it says in verse number 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Many of them, it says, truth be told, all but two were destined to die in the wilderness. Two, Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that gave the good report. The rest of them were all overthrown. They died. They literally wasted away. They decayed. They died. Notice in verse number 6 that Paul tells us a purpose for their story. Now, these things were our example. You see, there is something that each and every one of us can learn from the nation of Israel. How did they fall? Notice, these things were our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. The Corinthians had a problem with lust. They had a problem with their desires. They had a problem of saying no to those desires. Notice in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The golden calf story, of course, very familiar. When the children of Israel decided rather than to follow the real God, they had to make a God of their own making. Notice in verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. The Corinthian church, of course, also struggling with fornication. They were allowing it. They were complicit with it. They were not taking their stand. And by the way, I also happen to believe that there's a need in the day and age in which we live not to forget to take a stand for right. I'm going to be speaking about that here in the next several Sunday nights. But notice verse number 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. The fiery serpent story. You notice that here even the Apostle Paul is really bringing in several stories and several examples that the nation of Israel, a common occurrence, is the fact that they had so much and yet they complained in this particular story. They are there in the wilderness and the Bible says they murmured and they complained against Moses and against Aaron and against God literally. And because that God sent those fiery serpents, and now we see that many were destroyed until, of course, Moses made that brazen serpent. Now, what was their problem? Notice in verse number 10, he gets to the heart. He says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Murmuring, complaining, being ungrateful. You know, we do the very same thing. We bellyache, we complain. And yet we have so much, but we complain. You see, we are susceptible, like the children of Israel, to a bad attitude in the wilderness. By the way, notice the challenge, verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That is in connection with the children of Israel. If you think you're any better than them, think again. You and I can fall as well. But notice the way out, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now again, all of this is within the context here of the children of Israel having this wilderness experience. And their attitudes, the attitudes you have in the wilderness are going to determine your destination. Notice that he literally says there is always a way to escape. There is a way out. You see, every one of us, we are on a journey. I love that song, the song that says, I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Listen, you and I, we signed up when we got saved. We got saved to go on a journey. A journey that one day is going to end in heaven. And yet, we find the same thing that happened to the children of Israel happens to us. And that is in spite of blessings every day. Like the neighbor, like Mrs. Smith. We complain about the pies. And we complain about this and we complain about that. We've all been guilty of it, murmuring and complaining. You know, it's amazing how that we have so much and yet we find things to complain. We get a new car and then we complain about having to make payments. We get maybe a job and then we complain about the heavy work. We may complain about maybe a single person, you know, longs for the day that they can get married and God blesses them with a spouse, and then they complain that they're not a perfect spouse. There's always things that complain. And by the way, I find that it's also true in church. We're not immune from it. When we come into our assembly, we complain about the littlest things. You know, the sermon is either too long or it's too short. The temperature's too hot, too cold. The singer, you know, was too loud or too hard to hear. Or maybe, you know, we complain about the fact that, you know, the church people, they are too friendly or not friendly enough. You know, I find it just simply is amazing how that you can have the same experience, but it's stated in two different ways. You know, it reminds me of one of Aesop's fables. The story is told by Aesop about a man, a grandfather who was traveling with his grandson and was traveling by way of a donkey. And the first scene had the grandfather riding on the donkey. And then some critics began to complain. Hey! Look at that young man not being respectful of his grandfather. Look at how he's making him, not taking care of him. And so they complained about the grandfather. They're not taking care of the grandson. And so the next frame you see the grandfather getting off of the donkey and putting the son on there, the grandson. And then all of a sudden some people complained and they said, hey, look at that little kid there. He's not being respectful, you know, of his grandfather. And so the very opposite happened. And so the grandson got off of the donkey. In the next frame, you see all of a sudden, here's the two of them. They're just simply walking alongside of the donkey. And somebody complained and said, you know, that's a shame that they're not using a good donkey as a donkey to carry some burdens. And so they complained about it. And so the final frame or the final step of the story finds that these two, the grandson and the grandfather, are trying to carry the donkey down the road to try and make the critics, the impossible critics, happy. You know, the truth is, you'll never satisfy critics. You will never, ever please them. You know, a person with a critical spirit is going to continue. It's like I said this morning, they are broken in the dumpsters. And they just complain and they gripe, they complain. You know, back to the children of Israel, you would think that if there was a group of people that would have been thankful, it would have been them. After all, they had been slaves in Egypt. They had been in hard bondage. They had, many of them, endured some persecution, some mistreatment, and God freed them. You know, the same is true, you would think, that if there's anybody that ought to be thankful, it's somebody who's saved. Somebody who has their sins forgiven. Somebody who's been freed from the bondage. Somebody who has a hope. I'm bound for the promised land. I've got a mansion over the hilltop, as we sang tonight. That you would think that if somebody was thankful, it'd be somebody who was saved. And yet we find sometimes the biggest gripers are those who have the most to be thankful for. A critical spirit in the wilderness just needs to open up the eyes. David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Notice that David said at all times. I don't know if you've been following the story. We'll put the picture up of Alex Trebek. But the famous host of the game show Jeopardy several weeks ago, March the 6th, announced to an audience that he has and is suffering from, been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That announcement was made with grace. It was made with courage. It was an announcement that if you've even seen this, and you can even YouTube this, and that you can see it again, that you would almost think that this was somebody who was a Christian. Now, truthfully, I don't know if Alex Trebek is saved. He has not come out with any kind of a statement. I do know that he is a strong supporter of some Christian charity. But you know, I have to say this, that when he recently updated his condition, and he just did so this last week, and when he told about how that the doctors are shocked and surprised as they went back and now they have seen the progress since he's been having treatment. And by the way, he hasn't missed a show. He's continued to host the show. But he's now updated and said that the tumors have shrunk. And he thanked all of those who with positive attitudes, and he thanked those that prayed. I don't know if this man is saved. But why can't we be thankful like Alex Trebek? You know, that there's many, of course, who suffer from cancers. That there are many who have diseases. But I find it amazing how many people that have so much to be thankful for can be so griping and so complaining. And they can have these bad attitudes on their journey. You know, that's why you and I need to realize that verse there in verse number 13, I think, is the key verse. Where, let me read it to you again. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Notice this. But God is faithful. Those are the most important words in the verse. You see, I happen to believe that when you study that verse, you'll find that those words, but God is faithful, is the way to escape. You see, no matter what your temptation is, all you got to do is just simply turn to a faithful God. All you have to do is just simply follow a faithful God. You know, Dan and Terry Gardner, for instance, what has kept them? I guarantee you that there have been times of discouragement, whether it was learning the language, whether it was trying to witness and having little fruit at times. And what a blessing, by the way, to see that when you're just simply faithful, there is some fruit. But I guarantee you, over the years, there have been discouraging times and times when there may have been a temptation to quit, a temptation, you know, maybe this isn't what we ought to do, but yet, I'll tell you what has kept them on the field. Those words. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. You know what you and I need to do? We need to cling and hitch our wagon to the fact that God is faithful. That's all we need to do. Again, we've got the stories in the Bible that yield the example of a thankful spirit. I think about Job, for instance, and Job was a man who suffered more than anybody here has ever suffered. He lost his possessions. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost everything, his social standing. He lost support from so many friends. But one thing he never lost, God is faithful. And it's actually that very thing that got him through. It's that very thing where he even said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Where he said that though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When he said that when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But God is faithful. How about it tonight, Christian? Would you trust in God? Again, we've got so much to be thankful for. But it's when we see those words, but God is faithful. That's the way to escape. That's the way out of a complaining spirit. That's the counter, that's the antidote to all of these things. Just simply say these words, but God is faithful. Father, I pray you would speak to us here tonight in a real way that we might even see that you are faithful. That's the problem of the children of Israel. That was the problem that Paul was trying to relate there to the Corinthians. That the children of Israel had the example, if they would have just seen that God is faithful, they could have entered the promised land. That journey was lengthened. A year in, they had the opportunity to go in. But because they rejected, they had to wander around in the wilderness. Just like us, when we choose to complain, when we choose to murmur, when we choose to have the bad attitudes, then we just simply remain stuck in our wilderness. So Lord, I pray you'd help us to even learn a lesson here tonight. The attitudes in the wilderness. Help us to have the attitude, but God is faithful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Christians are praying. How about you tonight? Is your attitude one of seeing God, a faithful God? Again, I can tell you a lot of things that, you know, you say, well, I've got a right to be, you know, complaining. After all, you know, I've suffered some financial difficulties. Or I've had some rejection. Some people have rejected me. Oh, listen, no matter what you say, the Bible says there's no temptation that hath taken you but such as is common to men. Others have had those same circumstances, and yet, like a Job, they've relied upon a faithful God. You can do it as well. Have the right attitude in the wilderness. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come. If God has spoken to your heart.